Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Really, you've now gone to the Middle East and South African activists and people from around the world, actually, who have gone to join this march, finding out that the Middle East is not really for sissies. It's not South Africa. Many South African delegates who formed part of the global march to Gaza, it's called the GMTG, empty being the focus, have returned home, with several others still arriving Monday evening and Tuesday, claiming they faced intimidation, detention, and roadblocks by Egyptian authorities. The GMTG was part of the global solidarity movement, where on a Friday, thousands of citizens from over 50 countries were mobilized. What I also love about the story is that they got no attention whilst they were there, because all the attention was on the Israel-Iranian conflict. So they went there, they were treated badly, and I saw in some places they were actually very hot. Yeah, and they didn't have enough water, and they were so hot and uncomfortable, and nobody paid them heed. The Egyptians did not exactly treat them like they were VIPs. They have now been sent back to their countries, and they're not so happy about it. Kenita Hunter from News 24, of course, writing how it doesn't matter that they, you know, it wasn't they didn't reach Gaza. It was a great success, of course, trying to turn it around in absolute desperation. I think it's the best story ever. It is basically Greta without the yacht, and they got exactly what it is they deserved, although they'll have a story to tell, which does irritate me, because they probably will keep telling it. It is 6:48. Let's cross to Australia for the latest from there.
This is the Australia Report with Vic Aladev. Good day, mate.
Vic Aladev, a very good morning. How are you?
Well, thank you. Nice to talk to you today.
Nice to speak to you as well. There's speaking about people in other regions, there are hundreds of Australians, from what I understand, stuck in Israel, stuck in Iran. What's the latest there?
Well, that is right. And so the registered number right now is that there are 300 Australians who have advised the Australian government, Australian Department of Foreign Affairs, that they are stuck in Israel and of their desire to return to Australia. And 300, that is, and 350 Australians who are stuck in Iran and would like to return to Australia as well, with more registrations expected in both areas, both Israel and in Iran. And the Australian Foreign Minister said that, I mean, as we all know, that no flights are possible yet, given the risk of missile strikes, and the government is working on, quote, a range of plans to help people leave when they are safe. So, and that's all the information that is on that front. In terms of the bigger picture, I guess, if we can call it, the situation between Israel and Iran, the Australian Foreign Minister issued a statement calling for de-escalation, etc., which is, I guess, pretty much to be expected, but did acknowledge that Iran does pose a threat to Western civilization, etc. So the situation in terms of Australians is what I've just said. There are quite a few Australian programs who are in Israel right now, and therefore which are stuck in Israel. And as I'm sure you, I'm guessing you would have reported by now, it was reported here in last night that the Maccabiah, which was due to take place in about a month's time, has been put off for 12 months. And Australia had been in quite an advanced stage of preparation, you know, to send a team to that Maccabiah, which sadly will not be taking place in 2020.
Yeah. So have they? What is the latest with the Maccabiah? Have they given dates, or they're just saying it's been postponed?
They've simply said it's been postponed to the summer of 2026, which leaves it obviously broad, and which doesn't pin them down to any particular date, you know, and please God, things will be quieter then. But all they've said that I've seen is the summer of 2026. So which is broadly speaking 12 months' time.
Right, right. Okay, so that is, well, we'll obviously keep an eye on that story as well. The Jewish community's court case against clerics' extremist sermon comes to an end.
So this is something, and we touched on this last week. So this has been a court case which took place for all of last week, or four of the 5 days of last week. And just to remind people, so this was a court case, a civil case, not a criminal case, a civil case brought by two leaders of the Executive Council of Australian Jewry, and who sued the cleric over five sermons which he gave back in 2023, in late 2023. So in other words, it's obviously after around the time of October 7. And during these five sermons, among other things, this cleric called Jews vile, treacherous people, referred to them as descendants of apes and pigs. And according to the Jewish leaders, his sermons breached the, well, first of all, they went to the Human Rights Commission, but that actually didn't go anywhere. And now that they said that his sermons breached the Anti-Discrimination Act, that they were designed to insult, humiliate, intimidate, and offend Jews and dehumanize them. And so so there was a court case during, like I say, for most of last week, where some leaders of the community, in fact, one a senior educator at one of our Jewish schools gave evidence saying how much Jewish students have been impacted by these sorts of speeches, etc. And on the last day of the court case, which was last Friday, I'd just like to read to you briefly, but a very powerful statement issued by one of the Jewish leaders who mounted this case. Quote, "This case has marked a significant moment for Jewish Australians. It's the first opportunity we have had to expose what our entire community has been put through over the last 20 months. We have not lived in the same Australia that we have known and loved for generations. Our country has become less than that. This case is a test of whether rank anti-Semitism, whichever way it might be dressed up, falls into the category of views that members of the community are expected to put up with. By bringing this case, we have achieved something that no government or law enforcement agency, no human rights agency, no university, no writers' festival has been able or willing to achieve. We have finally brought to account someone who despises Australia's way of life, our system of government, and our precious freedoms, while invoking the same freedoms as an excuse to vilify entire communities who follow a different religion or no religion at all. It is a tragedy when our institutions fail us and citizens are left to fend for themselves by having to pursue a private remedy for a public wrong." I thought it was pretty powerful.
Very powerful. Yes, yes. So, and when is a result a result expected here?
It is not known yet. What the Jewish community has made it clear, they're not looking for any restitution. They're not looking for recompense. All they want is their costs covered, but for a ruling which will first of all, for the cleric to take down these sermons from their public websites, from the public postings, and to forbid him from making such allegedly anti-Semitic rhetoric into the future. And as the barrister for the Jewish leader said, it would be a Pyrrhic victory to rule against him, but without muzzling him and prohibiting from saying, from making these sorts of comment all over again.
In other words,
it's very much a test case of hate speech versus free speech, and so very much a test case to see which way the judge.
But that's not the only case, is it?
Well, sadly, that's not the only case, and so first of all, and this came to public attention just within the last few hours, an academic at Sydney University issued a statement, and he put on public, he posted saying, forget about sanctions, Zionists need to be executed.
Oh.
Executed. I know, yeah. Just like Nazis were executed. So I know, I mean, the mind boggles. So this came to public attention less than 48 hours ago, that Zionists need to be executed just like Zionists were. And so the potentially good news is that the university has immediately suspended this academic. But obviously, what I can hear you're about to say, well, he shouldn't just be suspended. He should be immediately sacked.
Exactly.
Absolutely. And so we as in the community, are waiting to hear what is going the outcome. But then to go back to yet another court case is that, again, at Sydney University, is that two academics from Sydney University, both Jewish academics, are leading a class action, which challenges what has taken place at the university during the last 20 months, in which the encampments were there for all of 2 months, where Jewish students and academics felt intimidated, harassed, et cetera, et cetera. And so two Jewish academics are now challenging the university's version of how it handled that entire sorry situation. And they are leading a class action. They are alleging that the university failed in its duty of care. It failed in terms of racial discrimination, was breached, where Jewish students and academics suffered, et cetera, et cetera. So the plaintiffs have just made this. This has just been announced literally just yesterday. So this is yet another case, again, not a criminal case, but a civil case, which is being prosecuted by two leaders of the Jewish community. And by the way, I should mention that one of the people on the other side of the table, one of the academics who's been very much allegedly involved in Jewish students and academics feeling harassed, is a member of the Jewish community. But, you know, we've discussed
it. Exactly. And that is unfortunately not surprising. It's just really, really the worst kind, because it is used, publicized, because because Jews know Jews, I suppose. Really just incredible. Has there been any follow-up before I let you go on the Hillel Fuld situation?
No, because there has not. And so Hillel Fuld situation, no follow-up. But what happened right after that was that Smotrich and Ben Gvir, two ministers, hardline ministers from the Israeli government, were both, a statement was issued by the Australian government saying that they are not welcome to come to Australia. And so while there is pretty much widespread condemnation of many of the positions that those two people have taken, what also came out was, how consistent is that? Is the government at the same time also saying that people from, say, Soviet Union or Iran or Qatar or other countries are also not welcome? But before that really blew up into a big issue, everything began to happen between Israel and Iran, and so the Hillel Fuld situation is now in the rearview mirror, as is the statements against Smotrich and Ben Gvir, and all the focus now, obviously, is on Israel and Iran.
That is where we leave it, Vic Aladev. Thank you as always. Vic is the former CEO of the New South Wales Jewish Board of Deputies.